What a story, huh? Incredible how the Lord moved in Mike's life. And as you look at his story, his testimony, I love the title at the top, Open the Door. Mike kept on sharing how the road trip to Nashville, he didn't want to go. And there are all these obstacles that were coming up along the way as well. My car, which had been working fine, broke down. His car wasn't available. One thing led to another, but we ended up making it. And one of the things I would encourage you in your journey is remember, as you're on the journey with the Lord, there are obstacles that will come up. You should just expect that, but listen to your heart. Listen to the Spirit. The Spirit's leading you in a direction. Continue to press forward and open the door. Door's going to open up. God will open up that door for you. And you know, the wonderful thing about Mike is he continued through the doors, and God was waiting for him in Nashville. You know what? And it's such a great thing that God would show up for him the way that he did. You know, this is another important thing about the journey. You know, all of us in our lives get used to our lives. There are certain things that we do day in and day out that we get used to. Some of the struggles, maybe depression. It could be any one of a number of things. And that's part of being a human being. But part of being a Christian is that God loves to surprise us. And God is never satisfied with our normal. God is always inviting us into his possibility, into his miracle, into his wonderful, into something new. And I don't know about you, but every day of my life, I'm experiencing that in one degree or another. And I hope the same is true for you. And so that for our brother Mike, that's what happened to him as he followed the Lord. And, you know, it's funny, but, you know, sometimes you got to get away to go where the Lord wants you to be. Sometimes you have to go to a new environment. And as he came to Nashville and he was a part of that conference, what did Mike experience? He experienced in a deeper way that God loved him. Why couldn't that have happened here? I don't know. It could have happened here, I guess. But for some reason, God had a moment for him in Nashville that was special, if you will, mountaintop experience of experiencing God's love for him in a way that transformed his very life. I was there with him. If I had before and after pictures, I would love to show you. Because he talked about the glow of the person at the grocery store 10 days later. That was Mike Johnson at the conference. But it wasn't 10 days later. It was like the next hour after this moment. He was glowing. The depression had lifted off of him. And there was just a deep, abiding love of the Lord. He just has a sense of the Lord's love for him. And you know what? A lot of times we make this complicated. It is not complicated. It is incredibly simple. It is simply about experiencing the love of Jesus. Some of you may know this song. It continues to go through my head this weekend. I keep falling in love with him over and over and over and over again. It's kind of repetitive, yeah, I know. But it's like, you know what? That's kind of how the journey is. There's always new revelations of the depth of the love that Jesus has for us. And one revelation of that can change your entire life. That's how that works. And so as that happened in Mike's life, as he was walking more deeply in the Lord and had that glow about him, guess what happened? He goes to a grocery store. here's a pattern here. He didn't want to go. Notice the pattern? Two times he didn't want to go, but his wife, Aunt Barbara, can be sweet. Very sweet. It's kind of hard to say no to Barbara, let me tell you. Those that know her, you know how true that is. He eventually says yes. But you know what? God was in the mix, right? Mike and Barbara didn't even see what was coming. But this was a divine setup. It truly was. Because they also went to a grocery store they usually don't go to. What an amazing coincidence that they happened to go to a grocery store where there's a believer, a woman, at the checkout who's suffering with incredible pain, probably has been in pain for quite a while. And any of you who know somebody who's had sciatica, or if you've had sciatica, that is a debilitating pain. And she was probably suffering with other things as well. So anyways, Mike's at the checkout, and then this miracle happens. God moves on him. It was the Holy Spirit. And he just speaks to her healing. He speaks to her the blood of the Lord. How often does that happen at the checkout line? That doesn't happen very often. But what we're noticing in people's lives is that's happening more and more because God wanted to bring healing to that woman. I can imagine she woke up that morning and maybe said to the Lord, as a believer, Lord, how long am I going to be dealing with this pain? I don't want to go to work today. I imagine that was her word in the morning. I'm in so much pain, I don't know how I'm going to do this job, but I need the money. Could you imagine the conversations that have been going on? And then this guy shows up out of nowhere, along with his wife, at this grocery store they'd never been to before, and a miracle takes place at the checkout counter. Can't dream this stuff up. But God's all over it. It's a miracle. She's instantaneously healed. And he goes back 10 days later, and she's glowing. Now, the reason why I recap that whole story is because for some of you, you're having a hard time believing it. It's almost too fanciful and miraculous and unbelievable to even think that something like that could happen. And you kind of know where I'm going. Oh, Father Joe's going to ask me to start doing this in the grocery stores. I'm not going to ask you to do it, but I'm praying for you. I want to let you know, I've been praying for you. Oh, yeah. I've been praying that more and more, each and every one of us, myself included, would be open to a deeper experience of the love of Jesus. Wherever you are right now, wherever you are on your journey, whatever's going on with you, I hope that you pray for me as I pray for you, that you each and every moment would be opening your life to a deeper experience of the love of Jesus for you. And as long as that happens for you, anything is possible. The miraculous is possible. Healing is possible. Love is possible. And you know what? Part of our hesitation is, Father Joe, I don't do that. I don't pray at grocery stores. I don't do that kind of stuff. I mean, I'm Episcopalian. I mean, we don't do that, you know? Or, you know what, it's more private for me. But, you know, I just want to let you know this. You know, again, Michael shared with us about his heritage in the church. His family has been Episcopalian for centuries. It goes back to the Anglican church and all that stuff. That's how far back it goes. And, you know, what a wonderful heritage we have as Episcopalians. But, you know, part of our call as Episcopalians is also to be disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's to be people that walk in the love of Jesus and share that love with other people, and to do that in works of service and giving, but also praying for them in miraculous and healing ways. And so that's the Lord's invitation to each one of us, and to be open to that. What I want to say to you is, don't be afraid of what God may be calling you to do. I want to encourage you along with me to be open to his love in this moment and to realize that his love will give you the power to do whatever it is you need to do. How excited was that woman in that moment when she received healing from her sciatica? And 10 days later, she still had it. She was still glowing. She was walking around, I don't have any pain anymore. She's probably checking her hip every morning. No, it's still not there, it's gone. Yeah, you were healed. When God heals, he's not an Indian giver, you're healed, it's taken care of. She was so excited. She went home and told all of her friends about the miracle that God did in her life through this guy she never met before and how his wife prayed with her and supported her. She's been telling this story ever since. So maybe you and I need to get over our fear about what other people may think and get over our fear about reaching out into the world and begin to see the excitement that might happen in somebody else's life as the Lord uses us to bring healing to them, to bring Jesus to them, to bring the Holy Spirit to them, to bring joy to them. And guess what? You get blessed at the same time too. It is a win-win. You're not smiling yet very much, but it's exciting. The possibilities are exciting. So I invite you to flip over your insert. Mike, wonderful testimony. Thank you so much. And you'll notice at the top I have a part of the devotional, 40 Days of Decrease, that I'm focusing in on today, and it's fasting neutrality. The scripture for this particular devotional, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their crosses and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will find it. What good will it be for someone to gain the whole world yet forfeit their soul? And Elisha goes into a little bit more detail about what fasting neutrality looks like and really unpacks the scripture. She shares the following: deny self or deny Jesus. This is the crux. Remaining neutral is not an option. We have to choose a side. Today, fast neutrality in the small, undocumented details of life, choose Jesus over self and recommit to living crossword. So you see, that's the fasting that she's inviting us into, this neutrality of choice, this idea that we can live for ourselves however we want and also still live for Jesus. She says that is not true. You need to fast that neutrality, because as a believer, there are choices you need to make. There are places in your life where you need to choose. Are you going to serve yourself or are you going to serve Jesus? Are you going to do this or are you going to do that? You don't need to make this complicated, because you know as well as I do, it is not complicated. It is very simple. And it gets as simple as the choices that you and I make in our life. And so you'll notice in your insert, there's about half of the page that's open. You might not need the whole page, but we're going to go there. The cross of your decrease. And again, I love the quote right above that. The cross is the ultimate call to decrease. The cross is not a call to forget our own names, but to live and die for the name of another. The cross is a call to denounce self-direction and shift leadership loyalties from ourselves to our Savior. Isn't that a wonderful description about what it means to pick up our cross and follow Him? Isn't that a wonderful insight into what that looks like? And so I ask yourself, and I ask you to ask yourself, and I'm asking me, what does the cross of your decrease in this moment look like? What specific area, what specific relationship, what specific struggle, or maybe what particular hope or dream that you have, what is the Lord calling you to put on the cross, put on His cross, deny yourself, and follow Him? What does that look like for you? What one area, maybe there's a couple of areas that you need to write down here in just a moment. One of the things I want to encourage you about is that at times the cross is definitely sacrificial. There's a sacrifice sometimes that's involved for you and me. There's a giving up. There's a surrendering. There's a letting go of a part of ourselves that's been in us for a long, long time, and there's a sense of loss with that. Let me also say that the cross can be incredible blessing. Look at the deal that Mike had. He gave up depression for joy. I'll take that deal. He gave up his struggle and hopelessness for the hope that the Lord gave him. I'll take that deal. He gave up where his relationship was at that point for a deeper and greater experience of the love of the Lord for him. I'll take that exchange. He gave up the experience of going into a grocery store and getting in an argument with a teller who wasn't treating him very nice. Hello. To the Holy Spirit flipping that on its head and using it as a conduit to bring the healing power of Jesus into that woman's life. I'll take that trade. Do you hear me? That's part of the cross of Christ as well. That's part of denying self and walking in the fullness that Jesus has for you and for me. This is why I'm smiling. I'm so excited for all of us about what this is going to look like in our lives more and more and more.